Podcast. I'm host as always, Adam Merton, joined by my good buddy here, Cole Shelton, to break down UFC Copenhagen, as well as two Bellator cards, or three, depending on if you want to call them three different cards. We'll talk about that later, Cole. It's really silly. We'll talk about UFC Mexico City a little bit, too. Cole, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm not bad, man. I'm not bad. UFC Mexico City card was definitely – I haven't had a chance to talk about it with you. It was a weird card. We'll get to it a little bit later. I want to start with the Copenhagen card, and then – we'll talk about Mexico City. Let's go to Copenhagen first, though, because that's what the main thing I want to talk about today. So, you got the card ready, Cole?
Yep.
Ready? Okay, cool. All right, one second. I'm just pulling up the odds here for the card. So, it's a fight night card. What time does it start, Cole? It's in the morning, I think.
The main card's 2 p.m. Eastern, so I think prelims will be 11, probably 12. Yeah, 11.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. I'm actually at a bowling tournament, so I'll probably just watch it when I get home. I'm assuming it's on. Is it Fight Pass or is it?
I think this is one of the Fight Pass ones for us in Canada, because I don't think TSN doesn't get the Europe ones.
Yeah, for us. And then obviously in the States, it'll be on ESPN Plus. All right, let's start with this card here. Let's pull out the Tapology page. Sorry, guys. It should be an okay card. And there's some good fights on it. A lot of European talent. Let's start with the prelims, work our way up, as always. First fight of the night, we got Jack Shore from Wales making his UFC debut. A really good prospect out of Cage Warriors, taking on Nohelyn Hernandez. The opening odds had Jack Shore open at minus 245, Hernandez opened plus 175. Right now, Jack Shore minus 160, Hernandez plus 140. Who's your pick, Cole?
I really like Jack Shore in this one. I think this is like a kind of a setup fight for him to get a win. Wales is pretty close. Denmark, it's obviously they're trying to set him up. He was the Cage Warriors champion, which is a really good promotion in Europe. Undefeated 11-0, defended the belt once, and then he got the call. And when he was fighting Cage Warriors, he wasn't just winning. He was dominant. He was finishing all his opponents. He has a really good ground game, a lot of submission wins, a lot of ground and pound wins. That's where Hernandez struggles. We saw him get submitted against Marlon Vera. I think this is a fight. Sure, we'll get down to the ground and we'll be able to submit Hernandez here in the second or third, but Hernandez striking is dangerous, as we saw in the Vera fight in the opening round. He had some success, but I think Shore will just be the better fighter all around, and we'll get a submission late in the fight.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Hernandez actually looked pretty good against Vera, considering it was a short-notice fight against a guy who's very good. So that wasn't that bad of a loss, in my opinion. He looked pretty good before that as well. Quite a bit of experience. I just feel like Jack Shore, this is a setup fight for him. I agree with you, Cole. He's a little bit younger, but the thing I like about him is all the experience in Cage Warriors. That is a great promotion. As we know, a lot of their fighters do really well in the UFC. This guy has, he's only been fighting as a pro since 2016, but he does have quite a few amateur fights as well. So he's been fighting for quite a while. He's been waiting for a long time. He's got some decent wins on his resume, including a win over Von Lee, former UFC fighter. So that's a pretty good win. I like this matchup to start off the card, but I do like Jack Shore, and I think he probably does win by either submission or by decision. Next up, we have a lightweight bout between Mark Diakasi and Lando Venata. The opening odds had DKC open at minus 135, Venata minus 105. Right now, DKC minus 155, Venata plus 135. Who's your pick?
Well, just first off, this is a fight I wouldn't recommend betting just because both of them are so inconsistent as of late. Both got in back in the win column last fight out, but Venata beat Marcus Mariota, which we saw last weekend was not a UFC caliber fighter. DKC beat Joe Duffy, which is a good win, but then he lost to Nazareth Hackparas, Daniel Hooker, and Dragor Klaus. They both have lost to Dragor Klaus. Obviously, Venata went on that weird two losses, two draws streak. He looked really good against Tony Ferguson in his debut. And then other than that, he's kind of a disappointing. I think this fight, I just lean towards Mark Diakasi. I think he's been better as of late, but that's not a confident pick. I think it goes the distance, but it's not a, even with this line, I don't think there's value on either guy.
I pretty much agree with everything you just said. This is a really close fight. But I do lean towards DKC here. I was actually impressed with his performance against Joseph Duffy. That's a fight I did not expect him to win, and he looked really good in that fight. Obviously, he had the three-fight losing streak, but honestly, Cole, look at who he lost to. Dan Hooker, Dracar Close, and Nazareth Hackbrass. Those are three pretty good fighters. Those are not bad losses at all. So, you know, I was a little down on him myself after those three losses, but after seeing how he looked against Duffy, I think I'm back on the DKC train. Guy trains at ATT, so I mean, he's training at one of the best camps. Obviously, Venata is a Jacksonville guy, so that's a good camp too. But for me, Venata, just look at his record in the UFC, Cole. So inconsistent. It's loss, win, loss, draw, win. That's just not a guy you want to put your money on. It's too inconsistent for me. So Venata is definitely a talented guy. He looked great in that last fight against where I know he's looked great at times. Even the Ferguson fight in his debut, that was a good performance, even though he lost. He looked really good in that fight. And the, obviously the McDessie fight in Toronto where he knocked him out with that spinning wheel kick, that was amazing. But, you know, he's a good fighter. Just, for me, too inconsistent. I can't trust him. So I'm going to pick D. Casey to win a decision here. Vidal is very tough. This should be a good fight, though. I think it's going to be one of the better fights on the card. I just personally feel that D. Casey's going to win. Having said that, I'm with you in that it's close, and I don't personally see any value, even at a short line here. Next up, we have a women's bantamweight bout between Macy Chaisson and Lina Landsberg. And honestly, Cole, why is this fight buried on this card? Like, Chaisson is one of the best prospects in that division. It's kind of stupid, right? I think she should be on the main card. The main card on this event is actually decent, but this fight should not be buried this far down, in my opinion. Anyways, Chaisson opened at minus 380. She's still minus 380 right now. Landsberg opened plus 260. She's plus 315 right now. So the odds have pretty much stayed the same, just with some more value if you like Landsberg as a dog. But I'm assuming you like Chaisson to win this fight.
Yeah, I like Macy Chaisson a lot in this fight. I think she is one of the best prospects, if not the best prospect in women's bantamweight. I've been really impressed. She won tough at featherweight. A lot of people were critical of her moving down, but she's made the weight every time. I know she needed the second attempt on the Sarah Morris fight, but she took that fight on what? It was like 3 or 4 weeks' notice. It wasn't a whole lot. And she's impressed. She knocked out Gina Mazzani with that one punch. It shows she has that one punch power, which is crazy. You don't really see one punch knockouts at in women's fights, but she has power. Her ground game, it is not as good as her striking, but it is still pretty impressive. She got up under Marais. She has very good ground and pound. Landsberg's kind of that right step for Chaisson, where they're not rushing her too soon, because she only has 5 fights, not including like the tough fights. But Landsberg, she got a big win against Tawny Evinger last time out, but I think this is kind of a fight for Chaisson to look good in again and get another finish. And I think she can finish Landsberg here and get a win and start fighting girls ahead of her and into the top 10.
Yeah, I agree with you everything on this one as well. You know, Landsberg is actually underrated in my opinion. She looked great against Evinger, and I don't think anyone thought she'd win that fight. She was like a really big dog, I think plus 300, maybe more. So she was a big dog there. She has a couple other good wins here as well as over Lucy Pudilova. So they obviously have the same common opponent in Gina Mazzani. But for me, first off, I think Chaisson is potentially a future champion. I think she really is that good. She trains at Fortis, one of the best gyms. She's looked amazing. She's the undefeated, won the Ultimate Fighter. Since then, she's looked even better. So I've been nothing but impressed with Macy Chaisson. You know, you don't see a female bantamweight finish all three of her first UFC fights. So that's really incredible. She's great, man. And the biggest thing here, Cole, is the age difference, man. 9 years younger, 28 to 37. I'm not betting on a 37-year-old fighter. Even at those plus money odds, I don't think Landsberg wins. She might be able to make it to the decision. This possibly could be Chaisson's first decision win, but I think she's going to finish this fight, man. I think she gets her down, pounds her out, or possibly knocks her on the feet. Either way, I like Macy Chaisson. Honestly, 380, it is high, but she's going to win this fight. So I like her quite a bit, and I expect her to be a pretty popular parlay target for parlay bettors. All right, next up we have it says it's a featherweight fight call between Brandon Davis and Giga Kickadaisy. Is that correct?
Yeah, it says Davis took it on short notice, like only like a week or two.
Yeah, it was a pretty short notice booked fight. Opening odds have, pulling it out here, Brandon Davis opened at minus 180 and Kickadaisy opened at plus 140. Right now, Davis minus 135, Kickadaisy plus 115. Who's your pick?
I like Brandon Davis here. The UFC experience, I know he's been lackluster in his last couple of fights. Chiakese obviously has that kickboxing background. But if you look at who Chiakese has fought, he hasn't fought anyone good. Like, look at their records. 0-1. He beat a guy that's 2-32. Like, that is lost. He fought on the contenders. He's lost to Austin Springer, who's nothing that good. He fought a guy 0-0, 0-1, 0-13, 1-10, 0-0. Like, he hasn't fought anyone even close to having winning records. Brandon Davis has been in the UFC for a while. He obviously had that huge win over Randy Costa, the submission win. I think this is a fight he takes down to the ground. I think he can easily submit Chiakese. This is another guy that kind of has a padded record and really shouldn't be in the UFC, but I think this is an easy win for Brandon Davis.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for me, Brandon Davis is just way too inconsistent. You know, I pick this guy and he loses. I don't pick him, he wins. Just not a guy that I personally have a good read on. I have to fade him here. I just have not been impressed with Brandon Davis. I don't know too much about Chiakese. I know that, like you said, he's being accused of a padded record, obviously. and I think that's pretty fair. But he's coming off a couple wins over guys that are terrible. I mean, 0-1 and 2-32. But having said that, man, I just can't pick Brandon Davis, man. So even though this guy has a padded record and hasn't fought anyone good, I'm still going to pick him as a dog. And the odds obviously went down a little bit, so other people kind of have the same feeling as me. They're fading Davis here, and I can't blame them because, honestly, the guy's just so inconsistent. He did look okay against King. I got to give him credit for that. And he's fought pretty good fighters, Cole, but, man, I can't trust this guy. He's just way too inconsistent. 10-7 record. That's not the guy I want to personally bet on. So I'll take a shot here in the dark on the underdog. Could be wrong about this one, but I'll take Chicken Daisy. Not a confident pick, though. I would not bet on this fight. All right, next up, we have a welterweight bout between C.R. Bahadurzadeh and Ismael Nurdiev. The opening odds had Nurdiev minus 170, Bahadurzadeh plus 130. Right now, Nurdiev minus 185, Bahadurzadeh plus 160. Who's your pick?
Yeah, this is a really close fight. I favor just Ismael Nurdiev slightly. I know his last fight against Chance Rencounter was not a lot of people expect him to win. He was like the second biggest favorite. But that win over Michael Prezeris still said something. He snapped that huge long winning streak. Bahadurzadeh hasn't fought since December of last year when he lost to Curtis Millender. Before that, he beat Louis Chagas, Rob Wilkinson, and Brandon Thatch. I don't even think any of them are still in the UFC. Maybe Wilkinson, but I mean, it's just a fight, again, one I wouldn't bet on. They both had lackluster fights in their last one. Nurdiev was really bad. It just Sahir hasn't fought in a while, so I just favored Nurdiev, but that's not a confident bet, but I'll pick Nurdiev by decision.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Nurdiev too. For me, the age definitely is something that's in his favor. The guy looked bad against Chance Rencounter, but I feel like Chance Rencounter might be a little bit underrated by a lot of us, including myself. Nurdiev is 23 years old, and for me, that win over Prezeris, man, that was so impressive. Coming in as a big underdog on short notice against a guy in Prezeris who's a tank, and he out-wrestled him and just beat him everywhere. So that was a really good performance. The Rencounter fight was not good. I feel like he could bounce back here. The guy has a lot of experience for a young fighter. 21 fights, that's pretty good. He is taking on Bahadurzadeh here, who's been one of my all-time favorites, to be honest with you, Cole, but he never fights. That's the thing I don't like about him. He's just so inconsistent as far as his fight schedule. Hasn't fought since December. He actually has been, I guess, a little bit more of a busy schedule lately. He had fought twice last year, but first fight this year, fought once in 2017, once in 2016. Before that was 2013. So this is a guy who rarely fights. When he does fight, he's definitely talented. He has knockout power. He has an underrated ground game. But I just feel like the age difference and the fact that this guy just doesn't fight enough, something that I gotta personally fade. So I'm going to take Nurdiev. Again, it's one of those picks where I could see Bahadurzadeh actually winning because he is very experienced and very good when he does fight. But just based on those factors, like lack of activity, I just have to fade him. So I'm going to take Nurdiev to win a decision in this fight. Next up, we have a middleweight bout between Alessio Di Chirico and Makhmed Maridov. Should be an interesting fight here, Cole. Maridov opened at Di Chirico actually opened in favorite minus 230. And Maridov opened at plus 170. The line is completely flipped by now. And Maridov's minus 150, Di Chirico's plus 130. So that's kind of crazy to me. The line's flipped almost completely. Who do you like, Cole?
I like the underdog. Yeah, I like the underdog. I think just the UFC experience. His last fight was Kevin Holland. He had the loss, which was disappointing. I think he easily could have won that fight. But before that, he has that win over Julian Marquez, which I think says a lot. Mardiev, he has some good wins on his record out in the regional scenes. But again, it's just UFC debut. You never know how you're going to look in the octagon. Chikirko, I think he's going to have that edge, like that chip on his shoulder, because I think he knew he could have won that last fight and didn't. So I think he'll win by decision, but it's not a common event. It's a super close fight, but I am surprised the odds have flipped to have Chirico as the underdog.
Yeah, the odds are crazy for this fight. Miradov's interesting because he's managed by the same stable that Floyd Mayweather is in. So that's kind of interesting. I think he's the lone guy from that stable in MMA or even in UFC. So that's interesting. Maybe this guy's good, man. Maybe we don't really know that much about him. Obviously, he's from Czech Republic. He hasn't fought too many notable opponents. He does have a win in his last fight over Wendell Oliveira, who did fight the UFC. So that's not a bad win. He's fought four times this year, Cole, and he's won all those fights. So that's pretty impressive, man, in my opinion. Obviously, his level of competition has been, you know, not great because he hasn't been in the UFC, but it's not bad. I mean, Alberto Uda is another guy who fought in the UFC. He knocked him out too, and Oliveira. So those are two UFC caliber guys or former UFC caliber fighters that he finished. The guy's on a nice win streak here. He's on a 10-fight win streak. That's impressive, man. I mean, again, not great opposition, but not that bad. Look at their records, not that bad. So to me, this guy actually could be something decent. 29 years old. Dechirko, of course, has the experience in the UFC, and he's looked really good at times. Like the Oleg Bambos fight looked amazing in that fight. Marquez fight was a decent win for him as well, but the last fight against Holland, definitely disappointing. Guy's a little inconsistent in the UFC. He's a good fighter, don't get me wrong. This is a close fight too. I feel like this fight can go either way, but I'm going to lean towards Muradov just a slight bit. I just think that this guy could be pretty good. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. This is definitely a step up, though, from Oliveira and Uda, but we'll see. I think he does win. I'm surprised the odds flipped as much as they did. I think it's closer to like a pick-up fight, personally. It was booked on short notice as well, but I'm going to lean towards Muradov slightly. And if I'm not mistaken, this guy might be the only fighter in UFC from Uzbekistan ever. So that's kind of interesting. All right, next up we have this is the last prelim bout. It's a middleweight bout between Alan Amadovsky and John Phillips. The opening odds had Amadovsky open at -190, Phillips +150. Right now the odds are much tighter. Amadovsky -120, Phillips +100. Who's your pick, Cole?
I like Alan Amadovsky in this one. I'm surprised John Phillips is still in the UFC. He's 0-3. He has the loss to Marshman, and then he was submitted by Kevin Holland and Charles Byrd. Amadovsky's last loss and his only loss was to Christoph Jocko, which is not a bad loss now. Jocko is a top 15 middleweight. That was his UFC debut. He showed some success in that fight, and I just think – but the problem is where Phillips loses is when he gets submitted, but Amadovsky's game is the striking. So I think this will be a striking contest. I just think Amadovsky's striking is a bit better than Phillips. It's going to be a close fight, but I think Amadovsky wins this one, and this will be Phillips' last UFC fight.
Yeah. Phillips definitely is someone you got to fade here. The guy just hasn't looked good in the UFC. But Amadovsky, I mean, okay, first off, the fight was against Jocko. That's a tough debut against anyone. He got wrestled in that fight. But, you know, his level of competition before that, it was not great either. So you got to keep that in mind here. John Phillips is definitely more experienced. He's fought better competition. But he is a little bit older. He hasn't looked in the UFC, although I did think he beat Jack Marshman. I think a lot of us did. He has knockout power. He has the experience. He has a few advantages here, but I don't know. I haven't been impressed with him. 0-3 record. Also, that gym, SBG, the fighters have not performed well. I don't know what's going on there. They haven't been winning fights. I'm going to take Amadovsky here to win decision. Maybe a knockout, probably decision, though. Not a confident pick, though, because I personally don't think this guy's great either. All right, next up, we have the main card. And I like this fight a lot, actually. Welterweight bout between Alex Cowboy Oliveira and Nicholas Dalby opening up the main card. The opening odds had Oliveira -185, Dalby +145. Right now, Oliveira -155, Dalby +135. Who's your pick, Cole?
This to me is going to be the fight of the night. This will be a great fight. This will be a primarily striking fight. The problem with Oliveira is when he gets taken down, like against Gunnar Nelson, that's where he struggles. But I don't think Dalby's going to shoot for a takedown. And if it stays standing, I favor Cowboy striking better. I think he has the better knockout power. I know it's good to see Dalby back in the UFC. I don't think he should have been cut to begin with, but I think it goes the distance. I don't think either one will be able to finish him. I think it's going to be a really exciting fight, but I think Oliveira is going to edge out a decision just based off his striking, his power, his reach, and all that.
This is a great fight, and I'm with you. It could be fight of the night. Great, great matchup here. Dalby, nice to see him back in the UFC. This guy had a brutal run, man. He beats Elias Zaleski de Santos by a split decision. Then he has a draw with Darren Till, and then he loses to Zach Cummings and Peter Sabata, and he gets cut. So that was kind of a tough run. I mean, the Sabata lost that one. He probably should have won, but you know, Cummings is not a bad fighter. Till obviously is really good. So is Zaleski. So that's not a bad little run there. He had the loss to Carlo Pedersoli Jr. And then he bounced back with 3 straight wins. And then a no contest in his last fight, which went viral because there was blood all over the cage and the fighters couldn't even stand up straight without without them slipping. So the referee, Mark Goddard, stopped the fight. But either way, he still got signed to the UFC, fighting in Denmark. And I think that should help him here. I think fighting at home is going to help Nicholas Dalby. You think he's going to be motivated, pumped, ready to go for this fight. Oliveira is definitely a good fighter. I have a lot of respect for him. He's a great, great fighter. He's looked amazing at times. A little inconsistent, though, coming off a couple straight losses. I wasn't too impressed with him in the Mike Perry fight. I think that's a fight he could have won personally. And I just feel like he didn't pull the trigger in that one. If that happens here against Dalby, he could be in trouble. No doubt about it. He's got finishing prowess. He could finish on the ground, on the feet. So this is going to be an interesting fight, Cole. Someone could get finished here. Someone could win a decision. I'm not 100% sure how it happens, but I do favor Dalby a little bit. I just feel like he could be a little bit busier and a little bit more well-rounded in this fight and win a decision. So I'll pick Nicholas Dalby. He is an underdog right now. He is +135, so I'll take the dog there. All right, next up, light heavyweight bout between Michael Oleksiak and OSP over in St. Peru. Oleksiak open -210, OSP open +160 right now. Oleksiak -230, OSP +190. Who's your pick?
I like Michael Oleksiak. I think this is just a fade on OSP. He hasn't looked good as of late. I think this is a setup fight for Oleksiak to look good. Obviously, his last two wins are really good knockout wins. He had that brutal uppercut to Andagulov, and then he had that nice body punch that ended John Volante. OSP has just been submitted by Nikita Krylov. He lost by decision to Dominic Reyes in a fight a lot of people thought he got knocked out at the buzzer, but I think this is just a fight for Oleksiak to get into the rankings and look good doing so. I don't know if he'll be able to knock out OSP. We haven't seen OSP been knocked out in quite a while, but I think there is a chance he could TKO him late in the second or third, but I think Oleksiak wins this fight.
There's no doubt this is a step up for Oleksiak, and OSP is a guy who has a ton of experience. He has some really good wins in his career. Corey Anderson by head kick, Shogun Hua by knockout, Krylov by submission. So he has great wins, but man, he's just been really inconsistent lately. He just hasn't looked good, Cole. The Krylov fight, come on, he should have won that fight. He wouldn't first round, then he gets submitted by Krylov in a fight that he had won the first one. And the Reyes fight, he got dominated, the Latifi fight. Got dominated. I just think you're right. You have to fade him here. 36 now. All that decline in his career. Oleksiak, only 24 years old, Cole. He's looked great in the UFC. Really, he's 3-0. I mean, the clear entry fight he won, he tested positive for a banned substance, but he won that fight pretty cleanly, too. And then, obviously, the knockout wins over Volante and Antigulov. I like Oleksiak, man. I think he finishes OSP. Give me Michael Oleksiak by knockout. I wonder if there's a prop on that. Oleksiak inside the distance, -135. So you have to lay juice on it. Maybe just go with him straight here. But yeah, I do like Oleksiak. I think he wins this fight. Another light heavyweight bout here, Cole. Between Jan Kutalaba and Khalil Roundtree, this should be a good one as well. Someone probably gets finished in this fight. Khalil Roundtree -140 opened at, and Kutalaba opened +100 right now. Roundtree -135, Kutalaba +115. Who's your pick?
I like Khalil Roundtree in this fight. I was just super impressed by his last fight against Eric Anders. You don't really see many people go to Thailand and change their striking that much. He looked like a whole different fighter and a different striker. His footwork was amazing. He dropped Anders so many times. And Kutalaba is coming off that disappointing loss to Glover Teixeira. I just haven't been impressed with Kutalaba. I just haven't bought into the hype on him yet. And I just think Roundtree, he's fought better guys. I know the Walker one was really disappointing, but he's knocked out Saki. He beat Anders by decision. Knocked out Paul Craig. He just has fought a lot of guys. He's been in the UFC. He fought on the Aldo Fighter since 2016, and he was only 3-0 getting in there. So most of his fights have been in the UFC. It's been a learning curve, and I think Roundtree will win this one. I think he might be able to TKO Kutalaba. I think he'll be able to gas him in the second or third, but this could easily go the distance well. But I think Roundtree wins this fight.
Yeah, this is a good fight, and someone's probably going to finish Cole, I think. Roundtree was beyond impressive against Eric Anders. It's shocking that fight didn't get stopped. Eric Anders, I think, was knocked out 4 times in that fight. It was absolute drubbing. Probably one of the worst beatings I've ever seen in light heavyweight. Eric Anders is a really good fighter, too, and he just got smashed. So I think that just shows that Roundtree has improved. The Johnny Walker fight, that was not a good fight for him, but he's looked good in the UFC, Cole, man, for the most part. I mean, the Taki win looked amazing there. Paul Craig, Daniel Jolly. He has a couple of losses early on and on the ground. So the ground game is weakness for sure. But Kutalaba he's a striker too. He's got power. He's looked good at times. The Gazi Mura Antigua fight, the Luis Henry fight was really impressive too. But he's another guy that I think can be beaten. And I think that Khalil Roundtree is the better fighter and, to me, the more tactical, powerful striker. I like Khalil Roundtree, man. I think he wins this fight by first round knockout or second round knockout. I think he does get the job done here. All right, next up, we have a welterweight bout between Gunnar Nelson and Gilbert Burns. I really don't know why this isn't the co-main event. Very, very surprising decision here for this to be third on the main card when it should be the co-main event. We'll talk about that in a second here. But Gunnar Nelson opened at -130. Burns opened -110. Right now, the odds have flipped somewhat. Burns -145. Nelson +125. Who's your pick, man?
I actually like Gilbert Burns getting another short notice welterweight win here. I think Gunnar Nelson, his best attribute is his jiu-jitsu and his takedowns. I don't think he'll be able to take down Gilbert Burns. Gilbert Burns is one of the best jiu-jitsu practitioners in the UFC. Same with Gunnar Nelson. And normally when you have two jiu-jitsu fighters, it stays standing. And I think Gilbert Burns' striking is much better than Gunnar Nelson's. I think he has the power to knock Nelson out or really hurt him. He's really impressed in his striking as of late. That Kachenko win showed a lot. He's obviously, a lot of his wins are come by the takedown, which I don't think he will have to do at this fight. I think he'll just keep it standing, keep the distance, and really pick apart Gunnar Nelson and win a decision win here.
Yeah, this is a good fight. Obviously, Burns did take it on short notice, so you got to keep that in mind. But still, man, he looked amazing in that Kachenko fight, which he took on short notice. I've been beyond impressed with the man lately. I wasn't sure about the move to welterweight. It looks like it was a good move. He looked great against Kachenko, who's an undefeated guy. And I thought Kachenko would definitely win that fight, and Burns pretty much dominated him. So that was a great performance. He's actually won, I think, what, five of his last six fights? Looked incredible. He's won five of his last six. The loss to Dan Hooker, obviously, that's not a great – that wasn't a great performance by any means, getting knocked away Hooker. But Hooker's really good, so that's not that bad of a loss, really, in hindsight. This guy is solid, man. We've always heard about his ground game, and it's always been good. But Cole, his striking's really improved, and I like that about him. Don't get me wrong, Nelson's talented too. His ground game obviously is amazing. If this fight goes to the ground, it's going to be a dream matchup. But I think it's going to take place on the feet. I feel like both guys are just going to keep it standing. Gunnar Nelson has good striking. Has that karate background. It's an interesting striking style for sure. But he has been knocked out. He hasn't beaten to the punch. And I feel like this fight might play out like the Leon Edwards fight, where Leon Edwards just outworked Gunnar Nelson, and Gunnar Nelson got a little bit tired. I like Gilbert Burns, man. I think he wins this fight. I think he wins by decision. So that's my pick. The prop on that is Burns by decision plus 170. So I think – you think there's some value there, Cole? Burns by decision?
No, I think there is. I don't think he'll be able to finish Gunnar Nelson.
Yeah, I think if he does, it's going to be by knockout. I don't see him – there's no way either of these guys submits each other. I just don't see that happening. You could see him getting knocked out, but Nelson has been very durable. One loss to Fontenegro by knockout. Otherwise, decision. So maybe take a look at that prop here, guys. Burns by decision. But either way, I like Burns to win this fight. All right, co-main event time. And again, I don't know why this is a co-main event. I know Marco Madsen is a popular fighter. He's an Olympic athlete. But really, against Daniel Bellawardo, that's the co-main event? That's very, very surprising. When you have fights like Oliveira Dalby, who's from Denmark, that could have been the co-main event, or Nelson Burns. So very, very weird decision here. Don't agree with it. Anyways, let's talk about Marco Madsen, Olympic athlete. The guy's wrestling is very highly touted. 35 years old, though, so he's a little bit older. Undefeated in MMA, 8-0. He's fought a very low-level competition over in Denmark. Having said that, Cole, Daniello Bellawardo, he's a little bit younger. He's 25, so that's an advantage. But, man, this guy is just not really UFC caliber, in my opinion. Did look good at all against Joel Alvarez. Gets finished by that guy. I think that was Alvarez's first career win by TKO, too, or maybe his second. But either way, that was not a good performance there in his debut. If Marco Madsen wins this fight, Cole, I mean, the odds are crazy. Sorry, I didn't even mention the odds, guys. I apologize. Marco Madsen opened minus 400. Right now, he's minus 600. Bellawardo opened plus 180. Right now, he's plus 450. I apologize for not mentioning those odds earlier. But as we all know, this is going to be a blowout fight. So my pick's Madsen by decision. Who's your pick, Cole? Or maybe by TKO, actually. What's your pick, Cole?
Just don't bet on this fight. It's Madsen's UFC debut. His wrestling, he's just going to take Bellardo down. Might TKO him, might submit him. But, I mean, there's a chance maybe Bellardo can stuff the takedowns. And then what? We've never seen Madsen striking, but I doubt he will be able to. I just think this is a showcase fight for Madsen in Denmark to just get a win. He's just going to outgrind him. I think this goes the distance, probably just him wrestling and holding down Bellardo.
Yeah, to be honest, the more I look at it now, I think he probably does win by TKO on the ground, but it could definitely be just a wrestle-fuck decision. He's going to win, though. Marco Madsen will win, but minus 600 is – it's hard to see value there in a guy making his debut. At the same time, though, I just don't see the value in Bellawardo as a dog. Were you going to say something, Cole? Sorry.
No.
Were you going to say something? Okay. All right. Main event time now. Jack Hermanson versus Jared Cannonier. Really good middleweight fight, five rounds or less. Jack Hermanson opened minus 210. Cannonier opened plus 160. Right now we have Hermanson minus 235. Cannonier plus 195. Who's your pick in the main event of UFC Copenhagen?
I think the odds are high on this one. I think they should be a lot lower. I am picking Hermanson to win, but I think this is a really close fight. I think Cannonier can easily knock out Jack Hermanson. I think this could be very similar to what Hermanson versus Thiago Santos was, where Hermanson stayed on the feet and Santos hurt him, dropped him, and then finished him on the ground. And then Cannonier has that knockout power. He could do that to Hermanson. But it's just Hermanson's takedown, his jiu-jitsu. I think that's going to be the key. I think we saw Cannonier get taken down by David Branch, which I think Hermanson is better wrestling. And I think there's a chance you see Hermanson smit Cannonier. But the thing is, with the Branch-Cannonier fight, Cannonier just uses pure strength to get up underneath David Branch. And if he can do that against Jack Hermanson and this stays standing, I'd have favored Cannonier striking way more than Hermanson. But I'd pick Jack Hermanson to win this. But again, I think all the value is on Jared Cannonier here.
I like Jack Hermanson quite a bit here, man. This guy is just beyond impressive. The fight against Souza was an incredible performance, like a real star-making performance. Pretty much dominated Jacare Souza. It was amazing. And he took it on short notice, too, which was incredible. So this guy has looked amazing lately. Four straight wins. Overall record, the UFC is 7-2. He has losses to Santos and Ferrer. Obviously not great losses, but otherwise, man, he's looked amazing. Wins over David Branch, Gerald Mearshart, Talis Ladies. This win streak he's had is really eye-opening. I mean, this guy, I think he's one of the best middleweights in the world. We'll see. I mean, Cannonier's not going to be an easy fight. Cannonier, I saw his last fight. He was there when he hurt Anderson Silva. That was a devastating kick. He knocked out Branch, but he has lost a couple fights, Cole, in different weight classes. Middleweight is his weight class. He's looked really good at middleweight, but don't forget the guy that was a heavyweight and light heavyweight that was very consistent. I like Jack Hermanson, man. I think he wins this fight. I think he dominates this fight, personally. Either stops him or wins the decision. I don't know how he wins. Five rounds, I kind of favor some sort of finish. That would be minus 140 for inside the distance. But either way, I like Hermanson personally. I think he dominates this fight, man. I think he really is one of the best middleweights in the world. Gets the job done and moves on to bigger and better things. So that's it for UFC Copenhagen. Very solid card. Like Cole mentioned earlier, the card starts in the early morning on Saturday, so it should be a good one. Cole, let's do the Bellator cards, then we'll talk a little bit about Mexico City and whatever else we have to talk about. So let's do Bellator 227, Cole, okay?
Yep.
All right, so main event of the evening. We don't have too many odds out right now, guys. As you know, you can check out Best Fight Odds. There's only odds actually out for the two of the fights have odds out. Let's talk about the main event, which doesn't have odds right now, but it's James Gallagher versus Roman Salazar. Salazar took the fight on short notice, and Gallagher obviously is going to be fighting Dublin here. You're going to pick Gallagher, right, Cole? I mean, there's no doubt about it, right?
Gallagher by submission, probably second round.
Yeah, I don't see Salazar having anything for Gallagher in this fight. He is a former UFC fighter. He does have some experience, but, man, this is a bad matchup on short notice. Good for him for getting the fight. I mean, he went on Twitter and said, let me fill in on short notice. So good for him. Got to give the guy credit. It'll probably lead to a longer-term deal with Bellator for him, but Gallagher's going to win this fight. We don't have odds out, but I'd expect him to be like a minus 900, minus 1,000 favorite. All right, we do have odds for the co-main event between Michael Page and Richard Kiley. Michael Page opened at minus 405. Right now he's minus 600. Kiley opened plus 285. Right now he's plus 450. You like Page as well, Cole? I like Page.
Why are they doing this with Michael Page? I thought we were past where they were just giving him 3-1 fighters. Like, he beat Paul Daly. He almost beat Douglas Lima. Like, he had Lima hurt before he got knocked out when he was too aggressive. Like, why are they doing this? Like, this makes no sense. This is what frustrates me so much about Bellator. I want to like Bellator. I want to watch all their fights. But then they put on fights like this, where you have these two cards where one's tape delay. They shouldn't even do tape delay in 2019. And then they match up MVP with Richard Kiley, and it's just going to be a first round, second round knockout. It's not going to be competitive.
Yeah, it's a terrible matchup, really. I mean, Kiley is just not – he's not a Bellator caliber. He really isn't. I mean, 3-1 record. I know he's an SPG guy. Good for him. Gets a shot in Bellator. But, man, come on. Michael Page? This is a terrible matchup for him. Michael Page – okay, the Douglas Lima fight, I think a lot of people are just really low on him now because of that, but come on. Douglas Lima is one of the most underrated guys in the sport in any weight class, really. He's an amazing fighter, so that's not a bad loss at all. And before that, this guy looked absolutely unstoppable in Bellator, was getting continued rise in competition. The Paul Daly fight was definitely a closer fight, but for the most part, he's looked great, man. He's got obviously great striking and decent grappling, I would say. Not great, but decent. It's improving a little bit. He's going to win this fight. Does he win by decision or by stoppage? I think he wins by stoppage. Give me Michael Page, first round knockout. Another fight we have with odds, Miles Jury against Benson Henderson. Benson Henderson opened at minus 230. Right now he's minus 260. Jury opened plus 170. Right now he's plus 220. Who's your pick in this one, Cole? It's kind of an interesting fight.
Yeah, this is actually probably the best fight on this double card they're doing. But I like Benson Henderson. His past couple fights, I've been more impressed. I've started to fade him off, and then this last couple brought me around that he's not done. Miles Jury in his Bellator debut, he's always has something to prove. He's getting a big step up, and Benson Henderson win here puts him right near the Bellator lightweight title shot. I think Benson Henderson's win by decision, but it's a really close, interesting fight.
Yeah, it's a good matchup for sure. I mean, a lot of people obviously think that both these guys are at the downside of their career because they're in Bellator now, but I'm not 100% sure about that. Benson has looked pretty good lately. The Piccolotti win, Sada Watt, and Roger Huerta. Not great fighters, Cole, but decent guys. Obviously, he's not the same guy he was once in the UFC, where he beat guys, you know, like Gilbert Melendez, Nate Diaz, Frankie Edgar, Clay Guida, Jorge Masvidal. Like, this guy's five, or Don Cerrone, Jim Miller. Like, he's fought and beat a lot of good fighters. He's not the same guy he once was, but I don't think he's completely done. Miles Jury, though, I don't know what's with this guy, Cole. Like, he came in the UFC, he had so much hype, and he was on the Ultimate Fighter, and everyone was saying he was going to win the show. He didn't win. He had a good run in the UFC, then he started tailing off. The move to featherweight was not a good move for him. Moving back to lightweight probably is the right move at this point, but this guy is so inconsistent. You talk about inconsistency. Miles Jury, that's the name of his game, man. I like Benson Henderson a little bit. The line's a little high, though, I think, just considering the matchup. I think it could be a close fight. Probably stay standing. It's going to be kind of like a slower-paced fight, I think, but I do lean towards Henderson to win decision. We don't have props out for that. A couple other fights in this card that are worth talking about here. Ryan Scope against Peter Quayle. That should be an interesting fight. Ryan Scope is a pretty good prospect. Norbert Novendi Jr. versus Will Fleury. That fight should be okay. Richie Smullen, former UFC fighter, against Sean Tobin. And I think that's all the ones I wanted to mention. It's a very busy card. I think there's like 16 fights on it, so a lot of fights. Bellator always does this. But I don't even know what to say. I don't want to say it's a good card because I really don't think it is, Cole. Maybe for the fans in Ireland, this is kind of for them. So I get that. There's a lot of Irish talent on this card. But, yeah, you know what? The whole thing with the tape delay and everything like that, so silly. So this card takes place Friday, and we'll see what happens. Maybe there's a few good fights. I don't know. All right, let's talk about Bellator 228 now. Of the two cards or three cards, this is by far the best card. This is a great card. It's one of the best cards of the year. And what's going on to Two-Starry Piani? What's going on, man? I see you in the chat right there. Bellator 228. This card's pretty good, Cole. I like this one. Let's talk about the main event, work our way down. We do have odds for the main event between Juan Archuleta and Patricio Pitbull. What a great fight here for the Bellator featherweight title. And it's in the opening round of the tournament. Patricio Pitbull opened -175. Archuleta opened +135. The line's tightened right now. Pitbull -145. Archuleta +125. Who's your pick, Cole? Great fight, man. I love this one. Who's your pick?
Yeah, this is a great fight. Such a super close fight. I favor Pitbull slightly, but again, I would just say Saturday night this rolls around and Archuleta knocks out Freire or wins the fight, I would not be surprised. Like, this is a super close fight. Whoever wins this, I'm not going to be surprised. And I honestly think whoever wins this fight is probably favored to win the whole Grand Prix. I know a lot of people were mad at this match, saying like, oh, you're killing two of the top contenders right away. But the thing is, the title's on the line. Archuleta deserves the title shot. Just give it to him right away. Like, he's going to lose and he wouldn't have won the Grand Prix anyways. So, but it's a really interesting fight. But I think Freire wins this fight. I think it goes the distance. It's going to be a super close fight. I think it's going to be like 3-2, but I get Pitbull by the decision.
I pretty much agree with everything you just said, man. This is a super close fight between two really good fighters. You know, Pitbull Freire is one of the most underrated guys in the sport in any weight class. The guy is just an incredible talent. 29-4 record. He's been one of Bellator's best fighters. I think when he beat Michael Chandler earlier this year, I think that kind of showed that he's the best fighter ever from Bellator, the best homegrown talent. Michael Chandler's up there too, but Pitbull is so good. So underrated. Cole, he's just so well-rounded. His striking, his grounding, his wrestling, his cardio, his chin. The guy is a fantastic talent. So I like him quite a bit, man. He's a great champion and obviously a two-division champion in Bellator. He's not defending his lightweight belt here. He's defending the featherweight title, but a rare two-division champion in Bellator. Now, Archuleta, I think, actually might be one of the best fighters he's ever fought. Archuleta is such a good talent as well. 23-1 record. That's an incredible record. 18-fight win streak. He's 32 right now. He's in his prime, Cole. He's ready to go, man. He deserves his title shot. You're right. There was a little controversy as far as why he got the shot in the first place, but he deserves it. 5-0 record in the UFC, in Bellator, and he's coming off the win over Eduardo Dantes by knockout, which was a great win. He's a great fighter. I would not be surprised if Archuleta actually won this fight. I think he has what it takes to beat Pitbull. Having said that, I can't go against Pitbull. He's the champ for a reason. Give me Pitbull to win a very close decision, Cole. And I'm with you, man. The winner of this fight, I think, is going to be the favorite to win the tournament. But I do think AJ McKee is someone you got to keep an eye on as well. We'll talk about him in a little bit. Next up, we have a co-main event fight between Gegard Mousasi and Lyoto Machida. This is a rematch between the two. They fought back in Brazil in the UFC with Machida winning a decision and Mousasi accusing him of greasing. Right now we have, okay, Mousasi opened minus 185, and right now he's minus 300. Machida opened plus 145, right now he's plus 240. Who's your pickle?
I like Gegard Mousasi here. I don't think either of them finish it. I think it goes the distance, but I think Mousasi's just going to grind out Machida and get a win. I think he's a better – the striking, I think, in their primes, Machida obviously was the better striker, and that showed in their 2014 fight. But now, I think just Machida's starting to fade. I think Mousasi's a better striker. I think he'll use wrestling to get Machida down. I just think he'll grind out a decision win here, but I think the odds are a bit too high, though, because obviously Machida, he can easily still knock out anyone out. Like, he has that flash style where he can throw some weird kick that Mousasi doesn't see coming, and then it hits him right on the chin and then wobbles on Machida, can easily finish him. But I think Gegard Mousasi wins this fight.
Yeah, Machida's probably one of the greatest fighters in MMA history, and the guy is incredible. He's had so many good wins. Even at Bellator, he's looked good. He's on a 4-fight win streak right now, Cole. The wins over Chael Sonnen, and Belfort and Anders in the UFC, but he's on a 2-fight win streak in Bellator. But man, he's looked good lately. 4-fight wins overall. Also wins in his career, obviously, Mousasi the first time they fought in 2014, Dan Henderson, Ryan Bader, Randy Couture, Shogun, Rashad Evans. He's fought and beat everywhere, man. He's an incredible talent. He is on the decline. He is older now, 41. You can't completely count him out, though. I mean, and he did win the first fight, so you can't completely count him out. Mousasi is great. Don't get me wrong. He is fantastic. Fight with what's his name in his last fight? The name escaped me. Rafael Lovato Jr. That was a super close fight. I mean, it could have gone either way. Lovato Jr. probably edged it out, probably deserved that decision, but it was close. Before that, though, he had such a nice win streak, 8 fights in a row. Chris Weidman, Rory McDonald, Carvalho, Uriah Hall, Vitor Belfort, Thiago Santos, Chris Weidman. I mean, this guy was beating and finishing everyone, so he's an incredible fighter, one of the best ever as well. These are two of the best fighters of all time, in my opinion. Like, I really have a lot of respect for both these guys, especially Mousasi. I mean, this guy's been fighting for such a long time and still at such a high level. Great fight, Cole. Love this matchup. I lean towards Mousasi a little bit too, but I think the line's too high personally, Cole. Minus 300, really? Like, it seems a little high personally. So my pick's going to be Mousasi. I think he wins the decision here. It's only a 3-round fight, so that probably does help Mousasi out a little bit. But you know what? I don't think you can completely count out Machida. He's looked really good lately. You got to give him credit. So my pick's Mousasi by decision. Great fight, but line's a little too high for my liking. We don't have odds for the other fights in the card, but they're definitely worth talking about. So another featherweight tournament bout here between Darian Caldwell and Henry Corrales. Who's your pick there, Cole?
I don't care why Darian Caldwell's even in this tournament. He's on a 2-fight losing streak at bantamweight. But honestly, Henry Corrales is coming off that really good knock going over Aaron Pico before that knocked out Andy Main. Has a decision win over Georgia Karahinen, win over Noah Lahat. If you look at who he lost to in Bellator, he lost to Daniel Strauss, Emmanuel Sanchez, and Patricio Pitbull. Those are three of the best featherweights in the world. This is a fight I think Caldwell can use wrestling and holds Corrales down, or it's going to be Corrales will pick Caldwell apart on the feet. I'm interested to see how Caldwell looks at featherweight. I really wish there were odds to see, because I think this is a really close fight. I think this could be a pick-em fight. I'll favor Caldwell slightly. I think the wrestling can be a factor, but that's not a common bet. I think Corrales easily could knock out Caldwell, but I'll go with Caldwell by decision, just grinding out a decision win.
Yeah, I like Corrales, man. This guy has looked great lately. He's bounced back nicely. He lost his first three straight fights in Bellator, and he's won 5 straight fights since then, including a great win over Aaron Pico in his last fight. This guy's looked really impressive to me. Caldwell's a guy I'm fading personally. I don't like the move up in weight for him. Don't know why he's in this tournament either. There's got to be better featherweights that deserved it more. Give me Henry Corrales, man. Either he wins by knockout decision, I like him to win. Next up, Daniel Vaischel versus Sal Rogers. Who's your pick there?
I like Sal Rogers here. I think this guy should have been in the UFC. He beat Ryan Hall in the season Ryan Hall won the Ultimate Fighter when he beat Artem Lobov. And when he went to the finale, it was visa issues. I think that he couldn't get over. But then he went to fought regionally. And then he fought in Bellator Birmingham. Now they put him in this tournament. I just think he has all the skill set. He's fought some really tough level guys. I think he wins this fight. I think he'll take Vaischel down. I don't know if he'll be able to spin him. Obviously, Vaischel is pretty good on the ground, but I think Rogers wins this fight by decision.
Yeah, Rogers is definitely a wild card in this tournament. The guy's got a good record. Like you said, he had a really good showing on the Ultimate Fighter, but I think Vaischel is just really underrated too. I mean, I've said that word quite a few times today, but man, some of these guys in Bellator, I feel like a lot of casual MMA fans don't even know who these guys are, but Daniel Vaischel is a very good fighter. 50 fights, 39-11 record, been around forever. He's lost 2 straight fights, but super close decisions to Pitbull and Yamauchi. He has some really solid wins at Bellator, Pat Curran, Jordi Kirahan, Emmanuel Sanchez. I do favor Vaisho a little bit just based on the experience, but definitely a close fight, and I wouldn't be surprised if Rogers wins. I'm looking forward to seeing the odds for that one. Excuse me. Finally, for the featherweight tournament fights, I like this fight too. AJ McKee Jr. against Georgia Karahanian. Who do you like here, Cole?
So, well, we had this talk on Ant Walker's show, but if you were to pick McKee, because obviously his dad's fighting on it, are they going to win the father-son duo? And I think AJ McKee could be the one that drops the ball. I think Georgia Karahanian is really tough. I am picking McKee to win the fight, but I think Karahanian is obviously going to be AJ McKee's toughest fight that he's fought. We saw what happened to Tywin Claxton. We saw what happened to Ed Ruth. They just fight too high level competition too soon in these tournaments and they get exposed. I don't think AJ McKee is that, and I think he'll win. I don't think he'll be able to finish Karahanian. I think he's going to win by decision, but I think this is a much closer fight than a lot of people seem to think it will be.
Karahanian is a good fighter, another guy underrated, and I mean, he's been around a long time. WSOF champ, looked pretty good in Bellator for the most part. He fought some pretty tough guys, but he's a good fighter, no doubt about it. I just think McKee is. I think he's incredible, man. Great talent, 24 years old, undefeated, coming off a good win over Pat Curry. That was a nice step up in competition, looked great. I think besides the winner of Archuleta and Pitbull, this guy is the favorite to win the tournament. I like AJ McKee. I think he probably wins the decision here. Like you said, Karahanian is super tough. There's a few other fights we're talking about here. Leandro Higo versus Sean Bunch. Any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I think I've kind of favored Sean Bunch. It's kind of like Higo obviously has been finished in his last two fights, hasn't fought since January when he got knocked out to Aaron Pico. Sean Bunch is on a winning streak, has a notable wins over Joe Warren. Not a confident pick, but I'd favor Sean Bunch to win that one. Is this an alternate bout for the Grand Prix?
It says it's 135, so I'm assuming it isn't, okay. But someone gets hurt or misses weight, the last the guy to step up and fight a short notice in a upper weight class. But yeah, it's a close fight, but I think being out Bunch probably has more momentum. Antonio McKee. Oh my God. How old is he? 48? 49. 49, Cole. Mandingo takes on William Sriapai.
Who's 47. This is a Chuck Liddell Tito Ortiz 3.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay, so this guy, let's start with McKee. So McKee has been around forever, and McKee had a really good career, but he was known for putting on really boring fights. And I think he was on like a 20-fight win streak at one point, if I'm not mistaken, 14-fight win streak. And the UFC signed him, and he fought Jacob Volkman, and they had one of those boring fights ever. And he lost a split decision and went and got sent packing. He waited so long to get the UFC and then had a terrible fight. Since then, he's fought very, very infrequently. He's only had 6 fights in the last 8 years. He has not fought in 5 years. And he's obviously fighting here because his son's fighting on the card, and I get that, but wow, 49 years old. Anyways, Sriyapai, he is 13-8 in his career. He's been fighting for a long time. His first fight, Cole, 1999 against Kit Cope. That's the name right there. Rob McCullough, he fought Charles Crazyworth Bennett. He's fought him. He doesn't have any notable wins, just looking at his resume. So I guess Kit Cope would be his biggest win. I mean, Kit Cope at that time was actually decent. But this guy is super old. He's actually fought once this year, so that's good, I guess. At least he has that fight. Before that, lost 4 straight.
An 0-5 guy.
Yeah, he's fought an 0-5 guy. Leon Klee, I'm guessing he's like 49 years old too, right? Hell to see. There's no age, but he looks really old. And that guy's, oh man, he's terrible cold. He's even lost since then. Anyways, yeah, this is an absolutely terrible fight. And, you know, you talk about Bellator. I'm speaking for you here, Cole, too. But we both like Bellator, right? But come on, why do they put fights like this? This is why people call it a joke when you have fights like this. Anyways, who wins this fight, Cole?
Antonio McKee in a very boring fight. This is kind of a setup fight for him to win. Why is it on? Will I watch it? Probably not. Do I care to watch it? No. Should it be on this card? No. But Antonio McKee will win an Antonio McKee way.
Yeah, it's an awful fight. And Gregor's Zablocki says, what's up? Hey, man, how you doing? Thanks for joining the podcast today. How about this fight? AJ Agazarm against Jonathan Quiros. This Agazarm guy has got to be one of the most overrated guys in Bellator right now, right?
Yeah, he's one of Diaz's guys, and he's just really good at jiu-jitsu. And then in his first fight, he lost to Jesse Roberts, who has kind of exposed him that, man, his striking's not good. His next fight, he fought an 0-1 guy when he was 0-1 and submitted him. Do you know what's funny about this? Darius Arms, a middleweight or a lightweight. This Jonathan Quiroz has been fighting at bantamweight and just recently moved up to featherweight. So they found him a guy that's going to be probably like 15 pounds lighter than him when they step in there. And that's a huge advantage for Agazarm and his jiu-jitsu. I guess I'll go Agazarm by submission just because I think that they're just trying to pad his record. But, man, if odds come out on this fight and he's super high, I think you kind of have to bet on Quiroz just because there's value. But he is super overrated for what he's shown in the Bellator cage.
That guy does have a win, Quiroz. He has a win over Ryan Lilly. That's a pretty good prospect. That's not a bad win at all. So at least he has that going for him. But, yeah, I mean, wow. Another fight that probably shouldn't be happening. Just looking through else. I mean, there's a few other notable names, I guess, on the card, but nothing that I would want to spend my time talking about. So definitely a good top of the card, but some of those prelims are very weak. It's a California card, though. You got a lot of focal California talent on the card. I say talent with quotation marks. A lot of older guys like that 49 versus 47 will fight. Wow. All right, so that's it for the Bellator preview. Let's talk about UFC Mexico City briefly, Cole. I've already talked about it on my own podcast yesterday, so I don't want to spend too much time on it. I'll just ask you a few questions. First off, Rodriguez Stevens, okay. Rematch? I mean, you have to, right?
Yeah, I think Colman made that Boston card in a couple of weeks. They lost Cater's a beat. That makes sense. If Stevens can't go, then maybe you do like the card after MSG. What's that? What's going to be after that? Maybe you do if they're in Moscow.
So yeah, I think you throw it on MSG or you throw it on Vegas. I think you back those cards even more. Put it as the main event of the prelims. I mean, it's not five rounds. It's unfortunate, but you gotta book these guys quick, man. I mean, they're both in great shape. They've got to go. And the other question I would have is, you're not one of those douchebags who thinks Jeremy Stevens was faking his injury, right?
No, those guys can shut up and stop talking. Like, Jeremy Stevens, there are multiple reasons why he did not fake this. He spent $30,000 on his training camp, 6 weeks in Mexico, away from his family, away from his wife, away from everyone he knows. He knew no one over there. He went to a random camp in Mexico and spent 6 weeks of his life away from everything. You think someone that faked an injury would spend $30,000 and 6 weeks away from their family just to do that? No. And the thing is, he couldn't open his eye. What do you want him to do? Like, his eye was completely shut. It's not even like where, say his eye was open and he just said he can't see. Obviously, then there's questions like, oh, maybe he can see and he's just lying, but his eye couldn't open. Like, come on.
Yeah, there's been three eye poke stoppages in the last 3 weeks. Yeah, Chia Kong, O'Brien Bader, Todd Duffy, and Jeff Hughes, and Stevens, and Yair. Now, to me, the difference with those fights is those fights, like, we saw those fights go on for a few minutes at least. This fight just started. Like, there's no reason why he would have wanted out of the fight. So anyone who said that just really is a stupid idiot, in my opinion. Yeah, he didn't fake the injury. He couldn't open his eye. The doctor tried to open it. Herb Dean tried to open it. It wouldn't open. It's unfortunate. I think he did scratch it and had a bruise. It's going to be okay, Cole. But, you know, for me, I'm a huge Yair Rodriguez fan, Cole. I feel like he really represented himself poorly in this fight, after the fight. The whole thing with Bisping, where Bisping, like, grabbed his shoulder to, like, do the interview, and he, like, whipped his arm around and looked so angry. And then jumping on top of the cage and kind of like freaking out, and then later on accusing Stevens, and then going back on and saying that he gave him the benefit of the doubt. I'm a big Yair Rodriguez fan, but do you agree with me in that he represented himself really poorly after this fight?
Yeah, he was on the cage like celebrating. Like, I think he won the fight, which I didn't understand. I'm like, I don't really get this, but yeah, I think the Bisping thing was bad, and then him saying, oh, he's going to have to live with it, that he faked his, like, that he could see. I just think Yair Rodriguez, a lot of people weren't happy with the way he acted, and rightfully so. I don't think he acted the way he should have.
Yeah, it was lame. I'm not going to talk about the fans. I'm not going to give them any airtime here. Let's talk about quickly the Cormier event, Esparza Grasso. I had it 29-28 for Esparza, Cole. Who'd you have?
Yeah, 29-28 the first rounds for Esparza. Yeah.
I don't see the controversy. I mean,
your pride rules, Grasso wins, but this is not pride. This is 10-9 must system, and Spars easily won.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's no controversy here. And I hate to say it, Cole, but I said in the podcast yesterday, I mean, Grasso has got to be one of the more overrated fighters right now in the UFC, right?
Yeah, she'd be up there. I think
she hasn't really performed the way she would.
An actual camp, not just fighting, training with her dad in Irene Aldana. Obviously, that's not working. You're not getting any wrestling, and that's been her biggest weakness.
her striking is really good. We all know that. We knew that 5 years ago when she was in Invicta, though. Her wrestling is not improved, and that's going to be the difference between her being a contender or not. So she's young, but that part of her game is just not developed. And our spars, you talk about underrated. Everyone counts her out. She wins again. I want to talk about this fight quickly. Amazing fight between Moreno and Askarov. I think this fight, and we talked a little bit about this after the fight was over, Cole. Who'd you score for? I had it for Moreno. Who'd you score for?
Yeah, same. I had him for Moreno. But again, a draw is something like, it's not bad. It was a really close fight. They should just run it back immediately. It was such an entertaining fight. It was a draw. Yeah.
Throw it on the Russia card. Throw it in the Moscow card. Why not, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, that card could do some more firepower. And isn't it crazy how the UFC caught Moreno like last year and then he had one fight and then he comes back? This guy, why was he ever caught? He's so talented, man.
And exciting.
Yeah, he's exciting. Yeah, he's good. And that fight was great. Let's get the Aldana fight. Steven Peterson, your boy, gets a spinning back fist knockout.
That was
talk to Steven after the fight. What did he say?
Oh, yeah, I was just texting him and he's, let's see, let's bring it up. He said,
who's this here?
I asked him if the elevation made a big difference. He goes, I came out 12 days early to adjust. It was super shitty the first few days, hard to breathe. And then he just said, I better get the 50K. And that was before he found out. So,
yeah, no, see, he looked good. And overall, like, kind of a weird card. There's some fights on the prelims, like Kyle Nelson looked good. Paul Craig, I'm gonna finish talking about this card because I've already did it yesterday. So that's all I wanted to talk about with that one. Quickly before we get out of here, I want to get your thoughts on the trilogy between Stipe and DC. The odds open as a pick'em. Do you have a lean in that trilogy fight?
I don't. I've been terrible at picking that. I picked Stipe the first fight, picked Cormier the second one. I think if Cormier fought the game plan of the first three rounds into this third fight, I think he wins. But that body shot, Stipe knows now the body shots hurt him. Maybe he'll attack it earlier. I think Cormier will need to use the wrestling. I think he had success on the feet, but I think he'll just have to kind of grind out Stipe in order to win. And Stipe, I think now he knows like his punches do damage and Cormier can't knock him out. Like the reason why he got knocked out, I think he took so much damage from Ngannou, his chin wasn't fully healed and Cormier just caught him in the right place. I think now with his chin healed, I think he knows Cormier doesn't have the power to knock him out. So I think he'll be more aggressive and take one to give one against Cormier. And I think that'll be Miocic's real game plan for a path to victory. But it's a super close fight. I think Miocic should have been favored, even if you favor him slightly, just because he won the last one. The pick'em odds are kind of lazy by the odds makers, just because you're making the public really set the line for who they bet on. But yeah, that's what do you think about it?
I mean, it's a great fight. I really have no idea. I feel like pick'em is it's always lazy, I think, when they do a pick'em line. But in this case, it actually might be okay because you saw the first fight, DC wins by knockout as a dog, and then rematch, Stipe wins by knockout as a dog. I don't know. Quickly, really quick here, Cole. Max Holloway, Volkanovski, any lean in that one quickly?
I'd have to favor Max Holloway, but again, Volkanovski is a real live dog in that one. Volkanovski is super good. He's really good, super impressive. But I think Holloway's pace, Volkanovski has a really good pace, so it's going to be really interesting to see who's the one that pushes the pace more, because I think that's going to be the one that's going to win the fight.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so let's end the podcast. You're running on to an hour here, Cole. I'm going to end it. Cole, plug your stuff, and then I'll plug mine. Go ahead.
Twitter at ColeSheldon91. This week, I talked to Cannoneer, Lyoto Machida, Gilbert Burns, Mesa Shiasan, all for BJ Penn. Talked to Hermanson for MMA News. Everything else just on my Twitter. You can see at the bottom.
Good stuff. You guys can follow me on Twitter at MMAAdamMartin. This podcast, as always, available at MMAOdsBreaker.com or our YouTube channel. Like, share, subscribe. Tell your friends about it. Check me out at BJPenn.com and MMARings.net. I have an article at MMARings.net about Stevens and Rodriguez and why the fight should be ran back and why the fight is actually bigger the second time around. Cole, we'll be back next Tuesday breaking down Robert Whittaker versus Israel Adesanya. Great fight. Can't wait for that one, man. So next Tuesday, we'll be back as usual. That's it. So thanks, guys, for tuning in. Thanks, Cole, for joining me as always on the podcast. I'll be back tomorrow with the regular podcast at about 10 o'clock in the morning, breaking down whatever happens tonight in this crazy world we call it the world of mixed martial arts. Thanks a lot, guys, for tuning in today. Appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow breaking down MMA. See ya.